This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com. Welcome to Dishy Mix. I'm your host, Susan Bratton. And on today's show, I have a live show from Austin, Texas, where I've come with Tim to learn and exchange information about information product marketing with a group of people called the Seduction Syndicate. Now, most of these are guys. As a matter of fact, for the most part of the weekend, I was the only woman in the room. And these are people who teach everything from pickup skills, like pickup artists, to life skills, primarily for other guys who want to live the best life possible. And so they teach them everything from how to attract a woman, to what to say when you get in front of a woman, to how to be a better lover, and also how to have great inner game for the rest of your life, all parts of your life. And these are guys that really care about the people that they work with, and they want to teach them the best possible skills. And one of my first guests on the show today is Dan Rose. Dan is from New York, and he's the creator of the Sex God Method. So, Dan, welcome to Dishy Mix.
Thank you for having me on.
It's my pleasure. So, Dan, do you get teased all the time that you're a sex god, or are you a sex god? Are you just a sex god?
My friends don't even know my real name anymore. They just call me Sex God whenever we go out. It's merciless. it's a good marketing name, but one which causes me a lot of getting made fun of.
Well, you've been doing this for 5 years on and off, for the last 2.5 years, rock solid on Sex God Method. The first thing that I'd like to do is talk a little bit about the product and your market position with Sex God. Who do you write for? Who are your customers? And what kind of content do you give to them? And then I want to talk about the different components of your product and your sales funnel itself. So start actually with the content experience and your target customer.
Okay, so my target customer is a male between 20 and 35 years old. He's a guy who is kind of, you know, like a nice guy who has like good intentions, but he's very awkward and probably doesn't have very much sexual experience. He probably had like maybe like a bad sexual experience when he was younger, or you know, something happened which kind of caused him to lack sexual confidence. Like, he doesn't really feel like he's the type of guy who can give women orgasms and can really give him pleasure in the bedroom, and he feels like something is missing, like it could be better. About half of my customers are in relationships where they're just not having sex as much as they want, or it's not as good as they want it to be, and about half are single, where they're just generally trying to, you know, improve their sex life with women overall. My product is my main product is the Sex God Method right now. It's an ebook, about 260 pages, and that comes with a free 30-day trial to my membership site. Basically, the Sex God Method, the idea is that there are four things which I call orgasm triggers that women have. And what I discovered is that being great in bed doesn't really come down to knowing a lot of physical techniques, like ways to move your fingers or your tongue or anything like that. What it really comes down to is tripping these four psychological orgasm triggers. And I find once you can do that, then it becomes very easy to have great sex, and you're going to have a great sex life.
You're really teaching men how to understand what it is that makes a woman feel really comfortable and connected in bed.
Exactly. Like, how to become the type of guy who turns her on, rather than like the type of guy who, you know, knows a lot of techniques but isn't really like that effective. Like, how to become the type of guy she fantasizes about.
Mm-hmm. So it's really a lot of inner game.
Yeah, I mean, it's inner game, and it's also like understanding how she gets aroused, and mm-hmm. knowing that arousal is not just a physical process, like, you know, like a machine or something like that. Knowing that arousal is mostly a psychological process, really understanding her and really understanding yourself as well.
Got it. Now, you have the 260-page ebook. That's what you'd call your front-end product. Mm-hmm. You'd go to sexgodmethod.com, and that's the first thing people would typically purchase from you. Tell us about your whole sales funnel, the different products, your membership site, how you price it, all of those components.
Okay, so our front-end product, as you said, is a Sex God Method ebook. The ebook is $37. And basically what we do to drive traffic to that page is we have banner advertisements. We have banner advertisements which lead to our sales page. And from there, they're presented the offer. And the main offer on the sales page is the ebook. We don't talk about the membership too much there. I mean, we mention it, that like they know they're going to get it, but we're selling the ebook there. So the ebook is $37, and once they buy that, it comes with a free 30-day trial to our membership site. For 30 days, they can try it out, you know, look at whatever they want. And after the 30 days, it's $67 a month. What we found is that pretty much all the profit in the business comes from this membership site. So we've really focused on, you know, building that out and delivering a lot of content and really maximizing the amount of time that people stay on there. So yeah, basically our funnel is banner advertisement, sales page, buy the ebook, and the continuity program.
Now, do you do the forced continuity when they spend the $37 to buy the ebook? You're giving them a month free, but then you're letting them know that they're going to get a monthly membership in this program.
Yeah.
And I mean, do they take it? They have to take it out of the cart, right?
No, they actually can't take it out of the cart.
They can't take it out. They have to cancel.
There's actually been a lot of discussion in the Seduction Syndicate lately where a lot of people don't like forced continuity. I think forced continuity is a great business model, but it's very tricky and you have to do it in the right way. We have, in our shopping cart, we did a lot of custom programming where we have a checkbox where it says, yes, I'd like to sign up and it'll be $67 a month. And it looks like you can uncheck it, but when you go to uncheck it, a video comes up with my face on the screen saying why you can't uncheck it and saying, you know, really a book alone is not going to make any difference. And you need ongoing support. So everybody is forced into it. If you want the ebook, you do have to like at least try it. But it's also everybody knows that it's happening. Like nobody is ever like confused, so we don't have too many problems with refunds or chargebacks. And also it's forced, but it's upfront, basically.
That makes total sense. You're justifying the purchase to them, and then they're understanding why having the monthly membership and learning incremental skills is going to be the thing that makes the difference for them.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the problems that a lot of people have with forced continuity is to try to like sneak in the back door.
Yeah.
And that can really cause a lot of problems. I mean, like before we had that video, we had it a few times in the sales copy and actually on the membership site that they get charged, but we still had a few people who didn't see it and would initiate chargebacks, which is the nightmare for your business.
Exactly.
So I feel that, you know, forced continuity is great, but you got to be like ultra, ultra clear about it.
Now you have banners, and I think you said that video banners were the thing that worked really well for you. Did I hear your partner say that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right.
Video banners. And are you buying a lot of media and running banners that way, or are you creating those video banners for affiliates?
No, we do some stuff with affiliates. Some affiliates actually run the same banner as we're using, but mostly we're buying traffic directly from websites. We found that by doing that, you can really exert a lot of negotiating leverage, which I find is a key to getting a good deal and getting clicks for, you know, 2 or 3 cents. You really can't do that on Google or someplace where you can't negotiate. But I find that a lot of the people who have websites with free information have a lot of trouble monetizing those sites.
Yes.
And if you can be the guy who gives them a big check every month, then, you know, they're gonna work with you. Basically.
Got it. That totally makes sense. Now, tell me a little bit more about other ways you get traffic in addition to your buying video banners.
So we have our banners. I would say probably the second biggest source is YouTube for us.
Okay.
We found that YouTube videos really surprised us.
Are you featured in the videos, Dan? Is that you in the videos?
Okay. Yeah. The amount of traffic is actually pretty small, but the conversion on the traffic is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The conversion is like way beyond any other source. I don't know the exact number, but I know it's like far beyond banners. And I would say probably about 20% of our sales come from YouTube videos.
And do you use anything like Traffic Geysers or Blip.tv or anything for video distribution and tracking?
We don't actually. The way that we do it is we have some videos, which is just me, where I'm doing it myself. And we actually work with partners who have, regularly produce YouTube videos on like dating and sex and things like that. And what they do is they, mention our techniques and they give our URL in the video and they, you know, they do all the work of like distributing it to different sites. It's a mix of partnership and also our own.
And when you say partnership, are you talking about joint venture partners who will repackage your content and then make money on you probably give them most, if not all of that $37 up front on the ebook, right?
Yeah, the way we do it is we give 100% commission on the ebook,
100%.
Or they also have an option for a recurring commission type of tier. So,
how many times do your JVs choose the upfront $37 one-time payout versus the recurring?
It's about 50-50. Mm-hmm. However, I've noticed that anybody who actually has a membership site or continuity program themselves always chooses the recurring commission.
They know that in the long term they'll make more money through the recurring revenue.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. It's good because, you know, a lot of people coming in, they don't really know me. They don't know if it's going to convert.
Yeah.
So at least this way they can get paid right away and, you know that it's something real, which is going to make the money. But in the long run, I think, you know, the 50-20 tier that we have definitely pays out a lot more.
I want to make sure I talk about your affiliate program a little more. But before I do, are there other things besides the video banners and the YouTube videos that work really well for you for generating traffic?
Yeah. This is one thing which we've started doing lately. What we really like to focus on is a lot of people like to do joint ventures and, you know, I email for you, you email for me. We find that that's a lot of work. And for the amount of, I mean, you make a couple thousand bucks every time, which is nice, but for the amount of work, is it really worthwhile when you could have set up a system which is going to perpetually generate money? So what our goal is whenever we do a joint venture with somebody is basically to have them promoting us in some type of recurring way, where sales are permanently coming in, whether it be through an autoresponder, promoting it to a membership site, or basically some way where, you know, sales are going to be coming in permanently. We did a partnership with Alex Allman where what we did is we both sent out an email for each other, worked really well, both made a few thousand bucks, and we said, okay, let's both put each other in autoresponders and we can have sales coming in, you know, forever. So that way now it generates about $1,000 a month, and we don't touch it. It just, you know, accrues on top of what we already have.
It seems like the big integrations that are happening are one-click upsells and downsells and those kinds of things during the purchase process, and integration in autoresponders, long-term integration happening with this market now that it's maybe maturing a little bit and people have vetted their products and they know they can get certain conversions, and you've gotten a chance to now meet each other at these kinds of events, and it seems like that's definitely what's happening.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed, I mean, even like 3 or 4 years ago, this would be unheard of that people in this, the dating and sex industry would actually be working together.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be like absurd. But now, yeah, I mean, it's a reality.
It's a reality to cross promote your products to each other because you really are all very different.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. Tell me about your affiliate program. What works best for you in getting affiliates? And where do they go? If someone wants to check your stuff out, where would they go?
Our affiliate program right now is private, but if you want to get in, you can email me at dan@sgmglobalmedia.com. I can like go through your stuff and get you set up with that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's private right now because we like to limit the amount of affiliates so that way we can actually have a relationship with each one and we don't have a bunch where, you know, there's really no relationship going on. So what I find works best, you want to know what works best to for the affiliates?
Yes.
Okay. The thing that I really find works far and away the best is we've tried a lot of things like affiliates running banners and kind of syndicating contests, but there is no substitute for an endorsement. I find that if you read this and it like really, this is something which really like touches you personally, mm-hmm. and you think it could help people, if you just like endorse it and say what you personally liked about it, that's the most powerful thing. And even more powerful than a text endorsement is a video endorsement.
You're so big on video, Dan.
I am really big on
video. It is your thing, isn't
it? It is my thing, yeah.
Now, do you produce it all yourself, or you're the star, but do you have someone who produces all the video, or do you do everything yourself?
I don't do everything. I'm just the guy in front of the camera, basically.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I'm in front of the camera and I have, you know, the cameraman and, you know, basically someone telling me if, you know, my mic is right and things like that.
Yeah.
I write all the content, I deliver all the content, but all the editing, the filming, you know, that's not me.
Mm-hmm. And where do you go from here? What's next after Sex God Method for you?
Well, we have a few big things planned. In March, we actually want to launch our first DVD set, which I'm super excited about. It's going to be about female sexual techniques to give women sexual pleasure, mm-hmm. as opposed to more sexual confidence, more like the inner game side.
Yeah.
That I'm really, really excited about. I want to do like a real launch, especially with some of the relationships we built here.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I want to do a DVD set on sexual confidence and how men can just become, at the core, more of a sexually attracted guy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the plans for the immediate future.
Nice. Well, you know, we're kind of a PG-13 show here because it's really a business show, but we'd love to have one tip from the sex god that we might be able to do, maybe a confidence tip or something that you think really is a life changer for people that comes out of your product. Would you share one?
Sure thing.
Okay.
Okay. So this is probably my most key concept, which I teach, you know, anywhere. This is really the thing, you know, kind of put me on the map. Before me, I feel like a lot of sex books concentrated mostly on physical techniques. You would buy a sex book and it would give you like a new way to, you know, use your fingers, or a new way to use your tongue during oral sex, or, you know, a new sex position, which is nice, but I really feel that doesn't make the difference, because if there's a guy who's just fundamentally unattractive, you know, like a guy who's really nerdy and, you know, insecure, and it really doesn't matter what he's doing, you know, no matter what way he moves his fingers, it really doesn't matter, because at the core, he's not a guy who turns women on. What I feel is the most important thing is that you really arouse women on the psychological level by giving them four things. These four things, I think, are dominance, just kind of that primal masculine sexual energy, emotion, the ability to make her feel strong things and feel strong things yourself, variety, which is being able to keep it perpetually fresh and interesting, and immersion, which is being very comfortable and relaxed and present. And I feel if you really concentrate on giving her those four kind of psychological methods of arousal, you can do pretty much anything physically, and it's going to be good.
Nice. Dan Rose, thank you so much for coming on Dishy Mix and talking to us about your business. You have a very successful franchise. You do an awesome job.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing what works for you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure. All right. We're going to go to a commercial break. And when I come back, I'm going to have another Seduction Syndicate member who's going to share with you his strategy and what's working about his products today. These are the best internet marketers in the world talking to you. And thanks again, Dan, for coming on Dishy Mix. Here we go. We'll be right back with the next guest. We're back, and next up, I want you to meet Jonathan Christian Hudson. Jonathan is very much an entrepreneur. I'd say he'd call himself a perpetual entrepreneur and a social coach for men. He runs a product, a company, a website, and a service called The Social Man. And so welcome, Jonathan.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Susan. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it was great to meet you. It was great to meet you here in Austin at the Seduction Syndicate. And before we get into our key takeaways from that, I want to hear what you really thought was the most interesting. Before we do, I want you to tell us a little bit about The Social Man. That's your key brand, and you have a lot of other products nested within that. So give us a lay of the land of what you're doing.
Sure, absolutely. Well, The Social Man is essentially an organization for men who are looking to improve their social lives, whether it be, their dating lives, what they're experiencing professionally, people who want to have a better life because they have better social skills. And I started off in the pickup community back in 2004. I helped launch a company that by 2006 was doing more pickup boot camps than anyone else in the world. And, you know, for those unaware, there was a book called The Game, and there's a show called The Pickup Artist, and that was sort of the space we were in. But I was not tremendously pleased with the direction that I was taking, and my business partner and I weren't getting along incredibly well. So I left that in 06, and a few years later decided to get back into this. And so now we have The Social Man, which is a little bit more broadly focused. We still help men who want to improve their dating skills, who want to get better at chatting up women. But a lot of the things that we focus on as well are our values, beliefs, and the deeper sort of change that really leads to core confidence and overall happiness. And I know that that's that can be sort of a soft target to reach for, you know, as opposed to just teaching somebody like a line or something to say. But ultimately, it's a lot more rewarding for people who do go through the process and who are willing to commit to it.
Well, if I have to say, you're an incredibly likable person. You're really good at creating rapport. You're attractive. You're well-dressed. You have really nice social skills. So I couldn't think of anybody better to help guys with their whole kind of life perspective.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
If you take the average guy that you deal with, what would you say are the top three things that are the most common places where you do a little bit of work with them that gets them the most rewarding change?
That's a really good question. And, you know, it's tough because when I think about our clients, I sort of look at them in almost a bell curve distribution where there's 20% at one end who need just a little tweak here or there. And then there's 20% at the other end who need a lot of, let's say, internal plumbing work and a lot of changes. So it's kind of tough to apply a broad standard of three things. But if I had to, you know, if I was pressed and somebody asked me three questions on an interview, I might say that, one of the things is just like better eye contact, nonverbals, and, overall presence. Because, as you know, and as many people who know who study this, the nonverbals and the way that you make somebody feel when you're interacting with them, it has such an important role in what they think of you and how they perceive you and how they feel. Is largely a function of how you feel. If you're comfortable around them, if you are confident about yourself, if you're engaging and you're engaged in them, then they're going to feel a lot better about you. And a lot of that manifests itself through your nonverbals and through all of the things that we don't say, but that are communicated. So we spend a lot of time working on that with guys. Another thing is just, ways to get people to open up to you. So we teach things like what we call pivot questions. I'll give you a very quick example. You know, some guy might say to a woman, or some woman might ask a guy, so where are you from? And he'll say, I'm from Michigan, or I'm from Las Vegas, or what have you. And then he'll just kind of stop. It's really simple to just turn around and say, so, where are you from? And that's a pivot question. You've basically taken her question, you flipped it around, you've pivoted. And, you know, the ability to have rapport, based on these little simple things by getting other people to open up, sharing a little bit about yourself, that's such a huge, important part of connecting with people. And then I guess the third one, and again, Susan, we're really focusing here on stuff that's not like, seduction related or not related to necessarily like building, really core attraction, but the stuff is just, fun and engaging, is a concept that I like to call implied investment. And, implied investment is essentially using language to imply that other people invest in you. So one way that you can do this is through absurdity. And I'll give you a very easy example. If I'm in Michigan, where I was for a few months this winter, and it's very cold there, I might send a text to a girl who's out in California, and I might say something like, hey, it's really cold right now. Can you come pick me up and take me to the beach? And, essentially I'm asking her to invest and do something for me. But because it's such an absurd request, she's clearly not going to actually, drive to Michigan and come pick me up. But the implication there and the expectation there is that she will do something for me. So it's like a fun way to initiate flirting and initiate banter. And the problem with a lot of guys, when they're flirting with women is they really don't know how to initiate that fun back and forth dialogue. And so that implied investment concept is a great way to do it. There's about 20 other ways that you can use implied investment other than with that absurdity mechanic that I just taught. But when we work on that with our clients, it's always a huge win. So I think those are three things just off the top of my head that I would say, kind of get the baseline of presence and who this person is, build some rapport, and then create a fun interaction. And if you can do those three things, I mean, you're immediately head and shoulders above a lot of other people.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how your life path went from learning pickup artist skills and running pickup artist boot camps to teaching men social skills, because you definitely do have a polish. I saw you in a room of guys who are in this whole category, and to me, by far, you had the most polish. So there's a testimonial for your website.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And you guys, I think, had an incredible energy. And I just loved talking to both you and your husband.
Thank you.
Really fun, really intelligent, and extremely engaged in everybody you were talking to. It was really my pleasure.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I'll probably edit that part out, but okay. So, at Dishy Mix fans, they want to hear about you, Jonathan. They already know they like me. That's okay. Why they listen. So let's go back to, speaking of your website, The Social Man. I really want to get a sense for my listeners of your sales funnel and how you think at an almost a wireframe perspective about your business. How do you on-ramp your customers? What kind of products and price points do you offer? How do you carve up your products so that you have different, on-ramp front-end products? Is there a continuity program, a membership program? Give us that architecture.
Sure. Well, we're always testing things, and as much knowledge as anybody might have about this stuff, that there's a gap between knowledge and implementation, and whatever I might share with you here, we could always be implementing and executing better.
Oh, no one understands that better than the Dishy Mix listener. We're all marketers. We get that.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So with that caveat, the way we look at this is we want to deliver a massive amount of value at the front end and really build a dialogue with our audience. And this isn't anything that internet marketers don't already know. But our front-end products are really high value. One of our front-end products is called Unbreakable Confidence in Game. It's about 10 and a half hours of video delivered online, and people can order DVDs for a small upsell. And, 10 and a half hours is not a small program. I mean, that's really big, and we really put our heart and soul into developing that thing. But what we found is that, people who buy it, they become they're on board. They're in our world. They're in our community. They end up taking coaching with us. They end up buying our additional programs. So rather than putting out just a, you know, a 100-page ebook as a front-end product, I mean, this thing costs only $47. You know, when you compare it to other programs in the industry, it's it probably should cost $300, you know, just based on the value, the amount of content they get, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, we want to set this precedent that, hey, when you work with us, you're going to get great stuff and you're going to get it for a good value. And, you know, if we can show that to you, then you'll be a customer for a long time. In terms of getting people into the front end, it's funny, I was just talking with one of my friends about this and the function of a website. I mean, when I think about, you know, why you become a regular at a website or you know, how you enter a community fold, it's usually through one of four ways. You know, the website is something that you visit and it's got some editorial piece, you know, that you look at and you're like, wow, this is really great stuff. You know, and for me, that's an example of that would be like the Wall Street Journal or something that, you know, where you're paying tremendous amounts of money for really good editorial. So it becomes something that you want to continue to keep up with. That's, you know, site type number one. Site type number two is where it becomes an addiction. So like one of my addictions is Engadget.com, which is sort of a tech blog. And, you know, I'll just refresh it every day. I'll throw it into my RSS feed because I'm constantly trying to see like what's going on in the world of tech. TechCrunch is another one like that. A third way of sort of engaging people is, you know, because you've got some fantastic resource that they want to bookmark. So like, there's this one site called color.adobe.com. I think it's K-U-L-U-R.adobe.com. And it's like a way that, it's just a really cool set of color palettes. So you go there and you bookmark it and that ends up in your Delicious bookmarks or in your, you know, in your browser bookmarks. The fourth way, of course, is a mailing list. You know, trying to deliver some sort of cool report or something else where you're sticking people onto a mailing list right at the front end. And I think that, you know, depending on the type of content that an internet marketer has and the different, you know, the different ways of engaging their audience that they want to pursue, any one of those strategies can work, but you've really got to think about what is the service you're providing and, you know, how much money do you have to direct it in any of them. So obviously, you know, most of us internet marketers try to drive people to a squeeze page, which we certainly have a few of those. You try to drive people onto a mailing list and you try to deliver them a lot of value and build relationships that way. But we've got a lot of other magnets that we've set up. So for example, when somebody comes to our mailing list, I'm immediately sending them to a DJ mix that I put together. I DJ in my spare time. And I'm trying to give them a lot of breadth of content rather than just depth and show them that when they come to our site, we're a resource for more than just picking up girls and more than just social skills. And I'm trying to engage them at multiple levels. So I want them to bookmark us in Delicious, and I'll, you know, send them a couple of, you know, pages that are effective in that capacity. I want them to be coming back. And one of the things that we're, you know, doing for this year is trying to get that, you know, that crack rock like addiction for people who really like this sort of stuff. So that means a lot of content at regular intervals. And so that's, you know, at a wireframe, what I just outlined there. You know, we're taking components of all four of those, and we are trying to build really great editorial content onto our site as well. So we're taking components of all four of those, and we're using them in various ways. So somebody, like we've got a couple of squeeze pages out there on the internet, not only for this brand, but for other brands. So we've got squeeze pages, we use SEO traffic, we use PPC traffic, we use extensive affiliate relationships to drive people to those squeeze pages and build lists. But once they're on those lists, we're pushing people to our main brand site, which is The Social Man, and we're trying to engage them across those other three channels or, you know, mechanisms, you might want to call them, so that, again, the relationship is broad and deep rather than just like, you know, trying to drill them with one particular piece of content, get them to buy a gateway product and, you know, go through that model. The gateway products are important. We definitely want them to, you know, to get in on our gateway products. And, you know, I think that the final piece of this, Susan, is we have, as I mentioned, you know, $47, you know, 10-hour gateway product called Unbreakable. We've got a couple others that we're rolling out this year that'll be at that price point. And then we're also going to do some $5 products. So, you know, one of the $5 products is going to be like, you know, the first date blueprint, you know, how to have a great first date. And it'll be 20, 30 pages. It'll be really cheap, but we just want people to get accustomed to spending a little bit of money with us. And we know that if they, you know, see the quality of content that we put out, they'll probably upgrade and stay on board from there. And of course, continuity is a big part of this. So, you know, we do have a forced continuity program. We're going to test the difference between forced and optional on some of the launches that we're doing this year. And, you know, we really try to make our continuity program, and I think this is really important, we try to make our continuity program way more value than what a person is paying for it. So, you know, I talked to one of the other people at the conference this weekend, and I was blown away by how much value he's giving in his continuity program. And that is, you know, such an important customer retention mechanism and such an important way to make sure that they, you know, trust you and they don't think you're a scammer. Just, you know, really over-delivering on the continuity piece. So did that sort of answer your questions? I know you threw a lot of stuff out there, but does that give you a bit of an insight into, you know, how we're approaching this nut?
Yeah, that was excellent. I think it gives our listeners a really good idea of how you're thinking about it and the different on-ramps that you're using to bring customers into your database.
Gotcha.
Based on what you've learned with all of the other people who came together over the weekend to really open the kimono and share some of the things that are working for them the best, was there one or were there two key things that you made a mental note or took a written note to go back and try or implement that you hadn't thought of?
Well, you know, as you know, I missed Sunday's session because I my bad flight booking skills, and I booked my flight for 6 a.m. rather than 6 p.m. So I'm afraid that I missed some of the great stuff that probably happened on Sunday. I'll tell you what the biggest takeaway was Mark Ling's talk about outsourcing. That was, it just absolutely blew me away. Because one of the things that I think we all struggle with in this business is making the leap from, you know, one or two people sitting in front of a computer and kicking out content to a functional organization that has, you know, that has employees. And, you know, the processes for managing people, for hiring people, especially remotely, are not things that most of us are good at or aware of. And Mark just absolutely rocked it in terms of, you know, teaching us how to hire, what to look for, how he manages pay. It was like incredible. So there was so much that I took away from that. And, you know, in terms of one or two points, I mean, I'm going to go full bore at, you know, it building out that function of our business and, you know, developing that skill in myself, because I'm definitely, it's definitely a soft spot in my capabilities is, you know, managing outsourced relationships.
If you could just share with us maybe two of the things that Mark offered as advice, that would be really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I hope he doesn't mind me sharing these things. Well, I mean, one of the key points he made was like, you know, that in the Philippines, you can get a full-time 9-to-5 employee for like $450 a month. Mm-hmm. And that's a skilled person who speaks English just as well as you or I. And I mean, I'm paying that to my customer support guy right now, and I get, you know, a few hours of his time a week. It works out to about $20 an hour. So, you know, like the value in that is just incredible. In terms of, you know, how to find these people, what did he say? There were a few really awesome points. He always starts them at about 20,000, you know, 20,000 Filipino dollars. And he always pays in Filipino dollars so that they know what they're getting and they're not subject to exchange rate. Moves them up to 28,000 when they've proven themselves. The other big thing that he talked about was how he tests people. And I really don't want to give away too much of his secret sauce. I feel like that's, you know, his choice to do or not to do. But, you know, one of the things that, this was just amazing to me how he'll, you know, look through a bunch of resumes and then he'll have, you know, a graphic designer, for example, do a 2-hour test where in those 2 hours, they've got four tasks in 30 minutes each. One of the tasks is to design a logo. One of the tasks is to, take a Photoshop file, cut it up into HTML and CSS with no tables. A third task was to take a bunch of written content and put it into InDesign and make it like a nice ebook. And the fourth task, you know, off the top of my head is escaping me. It's relatively new content, but you know, you can see his process for doing this, which is like, he's really making people work for the position. And he's really making sure that they have the requisite skills, you know, and not just trusting their resume. And I think that's a really important step in the outsourcing process. So he makes it not a beauty contest, but a skills contest. And, you know, hey, based on his revenues and how well he's done for himself, I'd say that his process probably has a lot of merit to it.
Absolutely. And thank you for sharing those things. Another thing that I thought was really good that he offered was that he hires a key person on the ground in Manila, and then he uses that person to make sure that when he gets those 20, 30, 40 resumes and he picks his couple and he puts them through a test, that his on-location person actually interviews them from the finalists to make sure that they're responsible, reliable, well-spoken, obviously don't have any, you know, problems that you could see coming, you know, doing as best you can.
Often when
we're using outsource global talent, we don't ever get to meet them. And so starting with a person on the ground was a really smart idea, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the hardest thing I've always, you know, faced with this process is, you know, the trust barrier. It's like, do you trust these people? And, you know, he's got this one person who's just proven themselves to him. And he pays her really well. I mean, he's talking about what he pays his woman. He pays her extremely well. But, you know, again, on a relative scale, U.S. versus Philippines, you know, it's a total bargain for him. And, you know, so it's completely worth it. That was a huge takeaway.
Exactly. Yeah, he was very, very well spoken. I'll see him out at Affiliate Summit as well, heading out there next weekend.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm in Vegas right now, so I'm hoping to see you there as well.
Perfect. So what I want to close our interview with is a little bit of conversation about what it will take for you to get your business to the next level. With this in mind, obviously, there's a million ways you can use your own resources to do work. But now, in this moment, you have an audience of internet marketers, affiliate marketers, people that run email marketing, online publishers that have websites. There's a lot of opportunity for you to partner with someone from the Dishy Mix audience. What is it that you'd like to have as connections that could move your business to the next level? Because you have a really nice brand. You implement really beautifully and you deliver a ton of value. So you're the kind of person that we would want to partner with. So what would you like if you could have anything in this moment?
A sandwich. I'm extremely hungry right now. But beyond that, and I don't think that's something Dishy Mix can provide. Beyond that, Susan, and thank you so much for those kind words. What we're really looking for right now, I think, is to... I would say just tighten the ship. You know, like a lot of companies in this industry, we've grown, but we've grown sort of, it hasn't been entirely strategically, you know, just by putting out content and, you know, getting our funnel together and et cetera, et cetera. So the things that we really need help on are our internal processes in terms of, you know, tightening the ship, making sure that, you know, making sure that we're like regularly testing. We don't regularly test. Like, we need to be doing that every week, you know, in terms of split testing and et cetera, et cetera. Getting our gateway products, you know, working at the level we need them to work at. But I think, you know, with respect to the opportunity here, and I appreciate you, you know, sort of suggesting that your audience might be helpful in this capacity. You know, the things that we're always looking for, we really want to get our name out there, and we want to work with JVs who, you know, with whom there's some synergy. And like, we love to email our list with anything, and we love to post to our blog with anything that is, you know, provides value and improves their lives. I'll give you an example. I'm sending an email today to our list for a friend's organization that it's a nonprofit group. It's called Stop Child Trafficking Now. And, you know, so we always try to like inform our audience of things that, even if they're not directly relevant to social skills, that we think are either value adds in their life or useful for them to know about, or causes they might want to get involved in. So those are things that we get really excited about. And, you know, beyond that, you know, we just really want to get our message out there and connect with people who can help us to do that. So whether that means, mailing their lists or, you know, working together to create offers, We've got, you know, besides myself, we've got some really smart, good-hearted, incredibly diligent people as coaches. You know, this guy I work with named Nick, another one named Race, there's another named Dan, my buddy David in Asia, he's actually a university professor in addition to doing this coaching stuff. So like we have a great crew of people who, you know, love to partner up with others, create content and get their ideas out there. And that's always exciting for us when we're able to connect with people in that capacity.
Perfect. So if you target men 18 to 34 and you think there's an opportunity to work with a social man, you can get a hold of Jonathan that way. Jonathan, what is the best email address for someone who might want to have a partnership with you?
Great question. You can just send an email to mail, that's M-A-I-L, at thesocialman.com. That's thesocialman.com. And, you know, I don't know what your process is there, Susan, but that goes into a Gmail box that myself and a couple of other people check. So I'm going to see all those emails. And, you know, if I miss them one day, somebody's going to make sure that they come my way.
Perfect.
So that'd be fantastic. And yeah, we'd love that.
That absolutely sounds
love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's great. Well, Jonathan Christian Hudson, perpetual entrepreneur and social coach, runs The Social Man. And I hope you had a good time listening to his amazing architecture for building out his information product line and turning some of our guys into more sophisticated, suave, fabulous men. I thank you for the work you do, Jonathan.
And thank you so much for having me here, Susan.
It's been great. All right, we're going to go to a commercial break. And when we come back, you're going to get to meet with yet one more Seduction Syndicate member and learn about this entire world of the pickup artist, the inner game, creating confidence, and once again, turning some great guys into even better people. I'll be right back. Stay tuned after this commercial break to thank my sponsors. We're back, and I'd like to introduce you to Carlos Zuma. Carlos is another one of the members of the Seduction Syndicate, and he has an amazing product line. Let me give you some of the examples of some of the things here. He has audio, DVDs, books, and entire downloadable packages and systems called the Alpha Rules, the Alpha Lifestyle Triple Threat, Power Social Skills, The Dating Black Book, Secrets of the Alpha Man, Alpha Man 2, The Alpha Immersion. There's a Terminator guy looking thing on the front of that one. The Ultimate Inner Game, Alpha Masculinity, The Seduction Method, Approach Women Now, Approach Women 2, and Conversation and Persuasion. He has such a big product line. This man is a content machine. Let's meet him. Hello, Carlos.
Hello, Susan.
How does one guy make all that content? You're amazing. You've been doing this for a while, right?
Yeah, I've been doing it a while. I also have this this verbal diarrhea machine that I find it very easy to just pontificate on this wonderful subject that we call dating. So it's not a problem.
Well, and for anyone who is dating, you have a present for us, huh? For one lucky Dishy Mix fan. Tell us what you have.
You betcha. I got a package called the Dating Black Book package. It includes the Dating Black Book, my original ebook from quite a ways back, but is still as relevant as ever.
I just
got done re-recording it as an audiobook, and as I'm reading it, I'm going, wow, I got to reread my own stuff more. And so I got a package with that and two bonus ebooks included for any lucky listener.
Awesome. So if you don't know the drill already and you're new to Dishy Mix and you were seduced by the Seduction title, all you have to do to be a lucky winner of this wonderful package from Carlos, the Dating Black Book, is to go to DishyMixFan.com. That's my Facebook fan page for Dishy Mix, and post your desire. And Carlos and I'll pick one lucky winner who can get all this dating goodness from the man, the alpha man, Carlos Zuma. So Carlos, we've talked a little bit about your product line. I've kind of laid it out for our listeners. Explain to me how you think strategically or almost architecturally about your sales funnel. What are your price points and how does your whole kind of on-ramp system work? How do you get a client and then move them up the food chain, if you will?
Okay. Well, I do have the benefit of having a lot of content that I can draw from to create packages and just about any part of the product pipeline. And I've heard a lot of Well, as always, you know, anything you hear or even best practices are still unproven until you test them in your own business. But what I've been doing is taking pretty much every price point imaginable and putting something there and seeing what the results are. That's, you know, the easy way about it, I guess. But it's fairly simple and straightforward to say that I've got something around the 7 to 17 mark is a good place and price point for an entry-level product just to get a paying customer. After that, you want to obviously get them something maybe around the 37, 47 range for a slightly upgraded or bigger package as it is. And then around 97 for a larger downloadable. And then from there on, I go up to 147, 197, 247, 297. So I hit pretty much every good price point in there.
And do you find that your funnel looks like a funnel in that you've got, you know, 5,000 people coming in at the first $7 to $17 tier and then another, you know, 500 and winnowing it down that way? Does it look like a funnel when all is said and done?
Yeah, you know, it does. The funny thing of it is, and this is an observation that somebody had about this, and that is that the nature of this particular information market is that a guy can be in a bunch of different places in psychological terms. In other words, maybe he's just not dating, right? And he just wants to get out there and start dating. Maybe he's got a girlfriend and he wants to make sure he keeps the girlfriend. Or maybe he's just broken up with that girlfriend and now he needs to get another girlfriend. There's a whole bunch of places that a guy can be in his own psychological funnel. So I find that addressing that with information products as well helps you, you know, catch them at the start of your sales funnel in a better place too. You're going to reach a wider target market and not worry about, you know, losing the guy that's like, oh, I'm not worried about approaching women, dude. I've already got a girlfriend. I want to know how to keep her. So that's a very helpful thing to know.
And is it primarily your autoresponders that you use to move people up the curve?
Yeah, primarily it's the email response mechanism, but I'll be honest, I'm also really conscious and aware of just how difficult it is to market via email these days. And so I'm looking at a lot of different options to keep people engaged. It's really having that two-way conversation, and I really do think that the two-way part of it's important. I give guys the opportunity to call in their questions or email me their questions or just fill out a simple form and feel like they're communicating back to me and at the same time getting my message to them. You know, email is only one part of it. You got to have other ways of getting to them, whether it's your blog, your podcast, or whatever the case may be.
And I know you also are a social media user. Not all of the people in the information product marketing world, a lot of them think that Twitter is a done deal and Facebook is over. Where are you on that that continuum?
I think there's a lot of fanfare that kind of it could easily lead a person into the situation of the emperor's new clothes. In other words, they get caught up in the hype of Twitter and Facebook, and you know they think, oh wow, it's a great big thing, and everybody's talking about it like it's a great big thing. So I got to try it out. And then if they don't get the results they expect out of it, especially out of a new technology, you know they're quick to cry and complain and just totally ditch it. I think it's an additional communication method, and it should be taken on as like a sidecar on a motorcycle. You don't throw away the motorcycle. You keep the motorcycle going, and you add on the sidecar. Social media is just another sidecar to our business and another funnel for reaching people.
A lot of people have been talking lately about the concept of forced continuity. Can you tell me your opinion? You can just describe it for our listeners from your perspective and then tell me your opinion on its value.
Yeah, that's a good subject these days, especially with a lot of changes in the marketplace. I started out way back when emulating a lot of the models I saw online, and one of them being the forced continuity model, wherein you sell a program to somebody and they're automatically enrolled in a month-to-month charge for that, and or for an ongoing service. Since then, and I'd say literally within the last year to 18 months, I have stopped most forced continuity. I'd say like 90% of my programs do not have that. It's an option. People can easily remove it, and I make sure that that's there, primarily because the nature of the market that I'm selling to and that many of us are selling to doesn't savvy to charging ongoing or being charged ongoing. So I've made that an option for them. I've made it as attractive as possible. I've communicated as clearly as possible, but there's always going to be somebody who just isn't happy about it. So it's an optional thing out there. So I really do feel like there are viable business models for that, but you have to be very transparent with your marketing. You got to be clear that that's what you're doing and that's something that they're going to get as a benefit is this continuity program.
And what are some of the most effective things that you're using now to generate traffic? Are you doing JVs and affiliates? Are you buying PPC? Is it SEO? Is it a combination? And which ones are the ones that seem to be paying off the best for you personally?
Well, there's a lot to be said for having been in this business for quite a while now. I started back in 2001, late 2001-ish area, and I was fortunate enough to, by virtue of having been around for a while, developed a lot of credibility with many of the services, most notably that one with the G and the double O, Google. Their ranking of a lot of my pages contributes a lot to my bottom line. So SEO is a very big part of my natural traffic. The second to that would be JV opportunities and just JV partnerships where my mentions, just hearing my name on another person's product, I've contributed to other people's programs, they've contributed to mine. And that kind of cross-pollination also feeds the funnel quite a bit. I've used PPC. It does take a lot a skilled hand and a disciplined hand to keep that going. And it's, again, it's another viable model. I think that there's a wide variety. I've also used videos to great success with YouTube and so forth, article marketing. The point is that anything can work if you work it and if you make it work. So, you know, there's lots of options out there. You really just have to stick to one and really understand it and work it well.
Do you think that it's sticking to one, or is it a dabbling arms race? Like you're the one-armed paper hanger trying to get all these things done so that you have at least a point of presence in each of these disciplines. Do you think that's a stupid idea, but you're compelled, or do you think it's the wrong idea and you should just pick a couple? Where are you on that?
The pattern of effort to it, I always like to use metaphors, but unfortunately one is escaping my mind for this. I can say the closest would be the plate spinner, but a controlled amount of plates. In other words, you want to start up a plate in a few different areas, the ones that are most likely to get you the success you need, both in the short and long term. For a lot of people, since SEO is not a quick enough earning capability for them, they got to spin the plate of PPC. You got to find out how that works, figure out how it works, or hire somebody that knows how that works and get them going on it. And then I'd say you've got to set up a predetermined number of those plates spinning and get them going and, you know, apply yourself to them for a while until you can let them spin on their own. That's really the ultimate thing, is you have to be able to get them to spin on their own.
Do you have any plates spinning on their own that you think are really good besides your SEO?
Besides my SEO, I would say the video marketing and article marketing is good. Now, I guess I use article marketing a little bit more for the SEO advantages than I do the straight, you know, finding original sources of clicks from it. But I'd say the video one is definitely a good one, especially if you do produce some good freeline type content. That's especially important.
Explain to my listeners what freeline content is. That's a terminology that's very specific to the information product marketing world.
True. It's one that was coined by Eben Pagan, and what it refers to is our willingness to give up a very handy, a very useful bit of information up front to kind of prove our worth and prove our mettle to the prospect or to the person that's looking at us as being a source of our information. So, gone are the days when we could just say, hey, I've got a really great secret, give me some money and I'll give it to you. You got to prove to them up front that you've got this, and then they're going to look at you and say, hey, wow, if he's giving this away for free, the rest of the stuff he's got must be awesome. And by that kind of logic, hopefully what you are giving them is going to be well worth their while. It's just a way of getting yourself proven in the marketplace.
Everyone in the world is writing an ebook and putting it online now. So information product marketing is like a bomb that's gone off in the digital world. And there's a lot of people going to get hurt.
Shrapnel, watch out.
What's your advice to someone who thinks they'd like to be an information product marketer? I think a lot of people think an information product marketer is a person who writes an ebook and puts it up on a website and sells it by, you know, email and pay-per-click. What's the reality of the world of successful information product marketers today? How big is that job?
You know, I think there's just so many untapped areas, and it's funny because somebody was talking about the freaky little niches they've discovered that people want information in, and I think given that, let's be realistic, not every single person in the world is going to want to market an information product. We still have the people that that need to do all the other positions in the world. I think given the amount of information, if you consider all those wonderful statistics about how it doubles, God, I think it's almost every year now and probably goes even faster. Who's going to help us sort through that to find the information we really want? It's not always going to be Wikipedia. It's not always going to be a Google search. It's going to be somebody that appeals to a certain target audience. And, I did the route of write an ebook. It got a little popular. I decided to record some audio. That was a viable product, and I kind of grew from there. I think anybody could do it that way and can do it that way as long as they follow a fairly established model.
So you think there is a lot of opportunity for everyone?
Oh, yeah. I think that given the amount of information, the sheer dearth of it, and not to mention the fact that we as a culture are starting to become a little bit more of information-obsessed junkies. We want to know everything. We want to know about the celebrities. We want to know stuff that's cool to us. I think that there's a lot of room for overlap. We're not going to just buy one book on a subject. We'll buy several books if we're totally digging it. So it leaves a lot of room for different points of view and different ways to present the information.
Nice. I want to end our segment talking a little bit about the alpha male, the alpha lifestyle. I think of all the things that I know about you, Carlos, and we've just met a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
I think you are a teacher and you love to get up in front of a group of guys and open their eyes to the possibilities of a certain kind of lifestyle that you profess. And I think in a way it's a lot of personal growth that you have really found guys need to know, and you're a good purveyor of that. What are the keys to the alpha lifestyle?
One of the big keys is a very well-cultivated, well-groomed, well-honed knowledge of yourself, the intrapersonal knowledge, if you will, the ability to manage your emotions, manage your thinking in a way that you can get to the results you want. Because the reality is that most of the people out there don't really spend a lot of time working on their self-development in that respect. They don't realize that most of the things that stop us from getting to the success we want is ourself. It's us that's stopping us. And when you can start to get past some of those boundaries, you can start to see that you have so much more potential. So a lot of that plays into the message that I'm giving guys. It's not that you're out trying to just find a woman to date, and I think a lot of guys sense this in some respect. Most guys out there right now are just looking for a really powerful sense of purpose, and they know intuitively that women are going to be attracted to that, but they of course need to find that path. Another thing I think would be good for guys to consider in their alpha lifestyle is their knowledge and understanding of other people, and that's really the social intelligence. And so one side would be the emotional intelligence, knowing yourself, and then the social intelligence, knowing enough about other people that you can work with them and help them, and they can help get you value to get your results and your dreams and your desires.
Nice. That was eloquently said, and I'm not surprised.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your opinions and your insights into this business. And I just want to let everyone know that you can go find Carlos products at carloszuma.com, and that's CarlosXUM as in Mary, A, carloszuma.com. And if you want to be the lucky person that gets his fun dating black book package, just go to dishymixfan.com, on Dishymix Facebook fan page, and say why we should give this fabulous package to you. Carlos, thanks again for being on Dishymix. I really appreciate it.
No problem, Susan. It was great to be here.
It was. Thank you. Well,
sure.
Here's to entrepreneurs, whether they sell behavioral targeting, behavioral skills, or how to pick up women. Thanks for tuning in. I look forward to connecting with you next week. I'm your host, Susan Bratton. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.